Okay, so welcome everybody, and thanks for having us to this talk about KubeWarden and how it's used at SUSE in the platform engineering team. So first of all, a little introduction. Myself, I'm Nino, and today, together with my colleague Thomas, which we are both platform engineers at SUSE, we'll be going through this and of a little agenda topics for today. We're going to talk about the challenges that may arise while managing an internal development platform, and we'll go into that in a minute, and how to address those challenges, and how a platform team can enforce strict regulation on multiple projects on a variety of customers. We'll see what this means in a really little time. So, let's start with something simple. So I hope everybody is familiar with this command, but anyway, this is a simple kubectl command that it will spawn an Nginx pod, and we will be doing this while specifying just two option flags, the image and the privilege flag, and as we will see in a minute, here we are specifying the registry tag, and most importantly, the privilege option, which has some security concerns due to the fact that it actually has some impact on the host where this containerized image is running. So this is because, even if that is dangerous, this is a valid command, and as we saw a minute ago, this actually does have succeed and instantiates a pod. So, and this is because Kubernetes, as long as the changes are valid and they're correct, it will happily accept it, and they will be persist, even if those may have consequences or they may be dangerous for our environments. So the question arises, what's necessary to protect our environments? What can we do to this? So to do this, we will need to enforce guardrails. So let's briefly go back and review the command that we saw just a minute ago. So here we can ask ourselves a few questions. And the first question that we can ask ourselves is about the registry. So do we want to allow the registry.suse.com as a valid OCI registry? Then next up, we specify the latest as the tag for the pod. So is this something that we consider valid, and is this something that we want to allow in environments? And last but not definitely least, as I was saying, do we really want to accept privileged pods in our environment? So those are all questions that we can ask ourselves with this very tiny, small, and simple example. But we can go further than that. There can be multiple and many more scenarios. So, for instance, is the image that we want to use cryptographically signed? Should the pod have or not have certain labels? And, for instance, regarding PCI devices, should we allow the pod to have access to, let's say, GPUs? These and many more questions are valid, and we will get to this in a minute. So this kind of highlights very simply why we will need guardrails. And the reason is that even if the changes are valid, we want to reject the configuration changes that we deem as bad. So that's before they actually do persist. So the reason is that if we don't do that, our environments can become insecure, and this is definitely something we don't want. And as well, managing a lot of code manually, YAML code for those changes becomes not feasible, and especially impossible at scale. So this requires automation in the mix, and automation possibly as code via policy as code. So to the core component that we will be leveraging to achieve this is the Kubernetes admission controller. So, and what it is, at heart, what it is, it is a piece of code that all it does, it intercepts the requests coming in, and once authenticated and authorized, and once this happens, it actually can validate it or mutate it. And this, it does that via the related webhooks. So For the sake of this presentation, we will just be considering the validation webhooks. So in our environment, we will be leveraging multiple admission controllers, and all those controllers together will make sure to allow or change or reject, sorry, the changes. And this is because we will be leveraging multiple policies that may be small, but together and isolated, they will allow us to maintain that security and enforcing the guidelines and enforcing the governance that we need. So we spoke about our internal platform, but why we do so? We are, as platform team, we need to provide tools and services and enable our customers on to spawn their workloads and do their tasks on different clusters. And at a very high level, the internal platform, the internal development platform that we are using is composed of those three parts. At the center, we have Rancher, which is the open source container management platform of choice. And then we have the downstream RKE2 clusters. And of course, those are the RKE2 is the Kubernetes distribution, which is supported out of the box by Rancher. And we chose it because it's lightweight and secure. And then we have an HCI, an hyper-converged infrastructure in the form of Harvester, because this helps. This is due to the fact that we can actually manage compute, networking, and storage as native Kubernetes objects. So, and most importantly, on both the RKE2 clusters and also on the Harvester HCI solution, we are running Kubernetes Policy Engine, which is what we will be going into detail in few more slides. So now we get to the point, what is Kubewarden and how can it help us? So first of all, it's worth to say that Kubewarden is a CNCF policy engine, and it is it allows us to use what we already know. We don't need to learn a DSL or a new programming language or something different to write the policies that we will be using, and those policies will be turned into some WebAssembly with some policies as artifacts, and those artifacts will also be able to be embedded in, let's say, CI/CD pipelines and such. So from now on, I would like to pass the microphone to my colleague.
Hello. Now I'd like to talk to you about platform engineering at SUSE and provide a few examples of some policies that we've recently written. So let's first talk about our customers. Our platform is the primary way for teams in SUSE to run their workloads, and with us they run production services, they perform research and development, and they also can give sales demos to prospective customers. And we need to enable our customers, but at the same time we need to protect them from each other. This is because we don't have unlimited resources. So we can't give everything to one team. They shouldn't be able to do everything. So we need to have some level of permissions. And some environments are more protected than others, for example, with certifications, where we actually run common criteria. And but there will always be a new feature of technology that our customers need, and they need it right away. So let's go over a few examples. Hey, platform team, I need GPUs. For some reason, multiple teams demanded GPUs last year. The problem is that everyone thinks that they need one, and they need the most powerful one possible. And this is usually because of they don't know what resources that they actually need to run the workloads yet. And GPUs are scarce, so we can't hand them out like candy. And we run our GPUs in Harvester, and there we split a physical GPU into multiple vGPUs and attach them to virtual machines. And each vGPU has a unique name, for example, here with the Tecton 27A with the number at the end. And the problem is, anyone who knows that unique name can attach it to their VM. And here I'd like to press that valid YAML is not the same as a valid change. Just because you know the name of that unique vGPU doesn't mean you should be able to attach it to your VM. So we need something more. If Kubernetes doesn't have built-in controls for the GPUs, we're going to just build a Kubewarden policy for virtual machines instead. And our goal here is that Kubernetes will ask our policy whenever a change to a virtual machine happens. So let's look at an example request. We can see that it's for a virtual machine. We can see the Kubernetes namespace. And we can see the unique GPU name. So how should we react? If we create a list of allowed namespace and vGPU bindings, we can get the namespace and the vGPU from the request. We can see the pair, see if the pair is in the list. And then with our specification is, if a vGPU and a namespace are bound, we will accept it. But if they're not, we'll deny it. So here's some example code where we're checking if the GPU is allowed. And the first thing that we do is we iterate over the list of bindings. And then we check if the GPU and the namespace are bound, and we return true if they are. And we return false if there's no match. And here's a level up where we're actually calling that function. So the first thing that we do is we get the virtual machine from the request. And then we get the namespace and the GPUs from the virtual machine. And then we iterate over them. And then after that, we check if the GPU is allowed. And if not, we reject the request. And if it wasn't rejected yet, then we allow it. And here we can see where we're setting with the policy, where we're creating a cluster mission policy resource. And I'd like to draw special attention to the settings, where we're setting the namespace device bindings. And anytime we want to add a new GPU, we would have to update it here. And here we can see it in action, where I'm trying to add a GPU to a virtual machine. And because it's not bound, Kuboarden denies the request, where we can see the red error message at the top. So for a second example, hey, platform team, restrict that network. Because of Harvester's self-service, anyone can create a virtual machine network in Harvester. The problem is that if you know the VLAN, you can recreate it in another namespace. And some of our networks are very secure, like for common criteria, and we need to ensure that they can't be recreated. And while we can hide this information, it's better to prevent the change from happening in the first place. So how should we react? If we have a list of allowed VLAN and namespace bindings, we can get the namespace and the VLAN from the request. Then we can see if it's in the list of our bindings. And the specifications would be, if the VLAN and the namespace are bound, we accept it. If they're not bound, we deny it. And if neither the VLAN nor the namespace are bound, we accept it. And this is to allow for unrestricted VLANs. So if we don't care and there's no protections for the VLAN nor the namespace, then we just allow it by default. So here's looking at some code where we're calling that calling this. So the first thing that we do is we iterate over the bindings. We verify that the namespace and the network are bound. And then in the end, we return true if they're allowed and false if they're not. And like the previous policy, we have to set up this cluster mission policy resource. And the same thing with the settings where we have the namespace VLAN bindings. If we ever want to add a new namespace or VLAN here, we have to update it here. And here we can see it in action where we're trying to create a Harvester virtual machine network. But the VLAN is protected, so we can see that it's denied. For our third request, hey, platform team, restrict those MIG partitions. MIG partitions are isolated instances of a physical GPU, and they're very useful for us to give our users access to the GPUs in Kubernetes. The problem is that we have a limited supply of them, and some of them are more powerful than others. So we need to control which MIG partitions we give to which teams. So let's look at an example request. We can see that it's for a pod. We can see the Kubernetes namespace, and we can see the MIG partition name. But instead of requesting a unique device, we're requesting a resource, and that comes with a few problems. So what's different with the resources? So a MIG partition name like the NVIDIA.com MIG1G 12 gigabytes is not unique to one specific device. And here we're actually requesting a certain amount of them. So we can request one of them, we can request two of them, or we can request none of them. And this raises a problem for us, which is how do we keep track of the MIG partitions that a namespace already has? So this is different than our previous examples because we had all the information that we needed in the request itself. So we had the Kubernetes namespace, we had the VLAN, and we had the device name. But now we have to keep track of a count. Luckily, Kubernetes have something built in, which is the resource quota. And this is used to limit the amount of resources that a namespace can consume. And this is usually used for the CPU or from memory. And we can use it to keep track of the MIG partition. But it only keeps track of resources that it knows about. So if the MIG partition's in the quota, it limits it. But if it's not, it's allowed without limits. So how would this scale? If we use it as is right now, we would have to add the MIG partition to every resource quota in every namespace anytime we add a new MIG partition. And if we forget a namespace, then that MIG partition is allowed without limits. So this is where the Kubeward and context-aware policies come in. And they allow us to reach out to the Kubernetes API whenever and retrieve another resource. So in our case, we would actually want to get the resource quota. And our goal would be to deny request if it's we're requesting a MIG partition, but it's not in the resource quota. So here's an example of where we're trying to do that. So what we're doing is requesting all the resource quotas in a namespace and returning them. And then here's where we're calling that function. So we're trying to get the list of MIG partitions from the namespace, iterate over it, and then validate that the MIG partition isn't within the resource quota. And the best thing about this is that we don't need to add any settings to our policy. Everything's actually controlled by the resource quotas, so we just have to update it there. And here we can see it in action, where we're trying to create an OLAMA pod and use a MIG partition that isn't bound to the namespace. So we can see that Kubewarden is denying the request. So the takeaway. As platform engineers, we can translate the business requirements to isolated policies of Kubewarden. And the best thing about this is we can also do it with programming languages that we're already familiar with, so Golang or Rust. And there's already a vast library of existing policies out there. You can discover them on Artifact Hub, and this is where we publish our policies. And you can also find policies that are maintained by the Kubewarden team itself. And hopefully we've convinced you to try Kubewarden. And you might already have some guardrails that you'd love to create in your environment. My tips to you would be to start small and limit your scope, to be sure to add unit tests as well as end-to-end tests. And when you're done, publish it to Artifact Hub and share it with the community. Thank you. Any questions? Yeah? Yeah, if you want to take this.
Sorry. And the question was, what's the difference with the... So the reason why we chose to use Kubewarden rather than other solutions that do similar jobs is because we thought that for the use cases that we were trying to address, this tool was the best fit for us. And on top of that, we have a close relationship with the Kubewarden team, so which is within SUSE itself. So that would probably help us solve questions and doubts sooner. So that was the two reasons why we chose this solution. And on top of that, the fact that we were able to do this by writing Go code or Rust code, tools that we programming languages that we use already using. So that kind of helps us learning a new thing, and that sped things up. That's it. I hope this answers your question. Any other questions?
So I don't think that we can actually reach out to other. Oh, yeah, sorry. So the question was basically when we're reaching out to, you mind?
So when we're reaching out to other services, if there are any security concerns,
the experience.
Yes, it does. I mean, there's the Kubewarden CTL command that allows you to actually test it locally. And as Thomas was saying, by writing end-to-end tests, you can actually test it on your local machine before actually and get all the debugging information that you can required. Sorry, I did not hear your question at the beginning because there is a little bit of noise outside. So, any other questions?
How do I get this stuff into my record?
So the question is, how do?
Okay, so the question is, how would we install Kubeworden on a cluster? And Kubeworden is actually a CNCF project, so it's not really connected to Rancher. I think that there is a supported version of Kubeworden that you can have, but for everyone else, you can just go to the Kubeworden project and install it in your cluster. It comes with a Helm chart. That's what we're doing, and it's pretty simple. So,
if I may add, we will be sharing those slides, and there are all the links that will probably provide more details and information on how to get this installed and running. Yeah. Any other questions?
I'm still kind of confused, honestly, because you showcased how it works with Rancher and Harvester, right? And there was a question regarding Kaiverino, and you answered like, he asked about OPA. With OPA, you have to implement this in the specific language. I don't remember how it's called. In Kaiverino, you just configure a YAML. And as a Kaiverino user, I don't see how it's good for me. Like, why would I switch?
The scope of this is just to explain our experience using this tool to achieve our use cases, and that's why we chose Kubeworden. This is not about convincing to switch from one solution to another. So every solution has its own pros and cons, but the main one, again, why we chose this and against other solution is because we could use knowledge that we already have within the team, being Go and Rust, and also the fact that being creating WASM artifacts, we could store those artifacts on our OCI registry, and we could hook up a CI/CD pipeline and run it as part of our pipeline. So that was our use case. But again, it's not that we're trying to convince to switch from another tool. That's the point.
Yeah, I mean, after the security police went down, it's no longer being developed. You have to pick something. So I was curious if you have any idea. If you were selling Kubeworden to me as a Kaiverino user, but okay.
I'm trying to be an engineer. So, but yeah, try it out, and you can we can take this outside if you want to discuss this further. But I'm saying it in a very not harmful way. Joking, of course.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions? Okay, so thank you very much.